Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's bringing that awesome sauce. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I feel tickled and amused right now, Stephen.
Oh my.
Yes.
Do I want to know?
I think you should ask, yeah.
Okay. Please, expound.
Well, you know, I'm always trying to find some fun questions for the rapid fire portion of this podcast, and I found one that I think is exceptional, and I actually want to lead with it. But no answers, just have it in the back of your head for the entire podcast.
Okay.
for you and for our guests, which we'll announce in a minute.
Yes.
And the question is, when poured over cereal, what is milk?
So
think about that for a little bit, and we'll get back to it later on.
What is but a pouring of milk over cereal? Okay, joining us this week. So, oh boy, folks, we're in for an interesting show. Joining us this week is Tyler Klein, the lead programmer over at Exceptional Games and developer of Election Year Knockout. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for the introduction there, and thank you for having me on your show today.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. If the games, how we say, what's the good word here? Energy. If the game's energy is any indication, this is going to be a very good show. I'm very excited for this one. For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens podcast, this is an interview show where we bring on an industry guest to tell us their story and to discuss their latest project. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, doesn't matter. They all have a story to tell, and we want to be their platform to do so. The show posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreensTV. And you can find everything we do at dualscreens.com. That's D-U-E-L screens.com. Tyler, I get to punch some of my favorite and not so favorite politicians right in the mouth in Election Year Knockout, but that really doesn't do the game's description justice. Can you tell our listeners what is Election Year Knockout?
Of course. So Election Year Knockout at its heart is like a punch out kind of game mixed with political satire. And we didn't want it to be like a one-sided game, and we wanted to try to deviate from those like flash games of old where it was just totally one-sided, you know, just a cookie clicker, mm-hmm. basically. We actually wanted to make a game that was fun to play and that people could laugh at, you know, on both sides of the political aisle, right?
Mm. So, how do you dance around something like that? Like how do you make it so that you're not pissing off one side and the other? Like, is it just, hey, no, you get to beat up both sides? Or is it, you know, more along the lines of, no, we're making fun of both sides here. It doesn't matter where you are. Everyone gets a laugh.
Yeah, and I think it's a fine line between making fun of everybody, right, and pissing everybody off, right? So you're totally right.
Welcome to Dual Screens.
Yeah. And so you're totally right. It was like something that we definitely had to balance and take into consideration at basically every aspect of the game, you know, at every step in the development. We had to think of, hey, is this cool? And the other thing is, we didn't want the humor to be mean-spirited. We didn't want to just like take individual jabs at, pun intended there, at a person, at a person's like persona or who they actually are as a person. We just kind of wanted to make fun of the ideas that people have about these people and kind of what they are, I guess.
I think it's more like they look like they're memes about these people have been brought to life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a big inspiration, is like the Jeb Bush memes, when that was actually the first character that I created. It's the first character you encounter in our game, Jeb Bush. He's based on Jeb Bush, and he's the Glass Joe of our game, right?
That's awesome.
And he was the first character that I actually worked on and created working at Exceptional Games here for this game. And so I think that really does capture that idea that we were going for, you know, like bringing those memes to life. And even one of his quotes, as you knock him down, he says, "Don't meme this," as he hits the mat.
So one of the things about political, I guess, humor would be the category here, is that it's always changing. It's always dynamic. Like when you look at Saturday Night Live, or you look at Stephen Colbert and, or The Daily Show or any of those shows, they are literally writing as things are happening. Like, things just happen in real time, and then that night, that evening show, they have jokes about it and stuff like that. So video games take a long time to make. So how did you balance what's current and what's relevant about these political caricatures and what's not, and like what's going to kind of stand the test of time while this game is being developed?
Well, and that's another thing that was really challenging. The game has been in development. I've been personally working on it for about 18 months, and Exceptional Games has been working on it for a few months prior to me joining. Mm-hmm. So I think that really that was one of the hardest parts there, was trying to strike that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know of any examples of like you had something done and then all of a sudden something outrageous happens and you're like, no, we need to include this in this guy, in this, this character's lexicon, as it were?
Well, in, to put this into perspective, exactly, like politics changed so fast. When I had started, Joe Biden hadn't actually announced that he was running for president, and nobody actually knew if he was going to run. So we had that list of like Democratic candidates who were running in 2020. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh crap, Joe Biden is running. We have to add him to the game now because he's probably going to be the front runner. And sure enough, we predicted correctly, as now he's the Democratic front runner. And yeah, adding him to the game was definitely an afterthought, you know. It was these things changed so fast, like you said. And there was a few quotes that these politicians have made since we started development as well that haven't added into the game, but we've wanted to add into the game because they're relevant in today's speech. Mm. You know,
I think this game broke my fiance when he first saw it. I was playing earlier this afternoon, and you've replaced, or you have John McCain's ghost as the stand-in for Doc Lewis in this game. So I was like, is that John McCain's ghost? And he was just like, that's fucked up. And he just walked away from the living room. But I do like how, again, it's not about picking sides. It's more about if we can piss everyone off, then we've done something really fantastic. Because I think that's how you unify the people. Like, if you just, everyone is up for a joke at their expense. And these and these figures, I feel, whether you're on the left or the right, some of them say the most outrageous things, and it's super joke worthy. And especially when you look at, I think, Elizabeth Warren's character in this game, I think that one broke me the most, with her little Starbucks coffee and her and her little headdress with little dollar bills sticking out of it.
That's awesome.
We had so much fun designing those characters.
I mean, there's no, one of the things that we lost over the course of the last 5 or 6 years has been, you know, the license to poke fun without like backlash and all this stuff. Like, you have to like kind of tiptoe this line. What were sort of some of the challenges there? You know, skating that thin line of saying, okay, where's the line of this is going to piss somebody off to this is going to make, you know, them laugh at themselves kind of thing?
Well, some of the like more obvious quotes that we could have used for some of the characters, we actually chose not to, because taken out of context, we feel like they can be harmful or like hurt their image, I guess, you know, and it wasn't something that we were trying to do. And so some of those quotes we allude to in the game, particularly with Donald Trump's character. Donald Trump's character. I'm so used to saying the character's name in the game now that I don't even say their real name anymore. Donald Trump's character, Donald Thump. Yeah, he, I'm sure you know some of the quotes that I'm referring to, and he doesn't explicitly say them because that would, I think, piss a lot of people off. But right. You do allude to it because it's humorous and it's something that everybody knows about, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right, so like seeing, what is it, Bernie Sanders, his little Twitter bird with a hammer and sickle for boxing gloves?
exactly.
Like it's just on the nose enough without just stating the obvious about, again, the caricature of Bernie Sanders. But again, it comes through in such a wonderful way that you can't help but laugh at it.
Yeah, and as somebody who's myself, I mean, not to get into politics, but a little left-leaning, I still thought that was hilarious when the artist showed me that drawing of Bernie Sanders, and he's got the hammer on one glove and the sickle on the other for the the bird. I just busted my ass off laughing. It was great. And then I read some of the quotes that he had already written into the game, like, "Oh, Bernie, I honeymooned in the Soviet Union." Like, and that's actually true. He actually did a honeymoon in the Soviet Union.
Yeah. It's political satire has always been a thing. It's just like there's a heightened sensitivity, but if you can be goofy about it and find these memed qualities in these characters and these political, I guess, these political characters, because honestly, at this point, where is the distinction between when they're putting on a show to where they're actually being themselves? Because they're on camera now 24 hours a day with things like Twitter and Facebook and the 24-hour news cycle. It's like you're not getting real people anymore. You're just getting their scripted platform craziness, and you know they're always turned up to 11. So it almost makes it so these characters coming to life is almost like, of course they are. Like, of course this is who they are. Of course this is the character of who they are. It's like those newspapers, you know, the political cartoons in newspapers, like, except it's moving and fluid and you could punch them in the mouth. I mean, that's really what we're looking at here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's basically what we were going for, right? And that's one of the reasons I think a lot of the characters look kind of cutesy and Disney, is because we didn't want to go that easy route of making them ugly, you know, to make them look bad, right? That's, I think, the easy way to go about political satire is to just make a really ugly cartoon character of a politician and say, oh, doing bad things or whatever. And then you immediately see that characterization and you think, oh, well, they're doing bad things.
That feels like just kind of cheap and I guess the easiest way to go about it. But if you're trying to make, I guess, a more sophisticated approach to political humor, this is the way to go about it. Where there are just cartoons of themselves, essentially.
And that's exactly what we were trying to go for, Andy. Yeah.
So who's the main character in this game? Like, who is the player playing?
The player in this game is basically you. You're an unnamed boxer, unnamed third party candidate.
Oh, I like that.
Yep.
Third party candidate. Now you're getting a little risque, okay?
Yeah.
That could swing elections. You got to be careful.
It's the first time in 150 years, if you beat the game, that a third party rises to presidency.
Wow. Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Right.
So how many? Go ahead.
And we're boxing our way to the presidency is this game's premise.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, doesn't sound much different than what we get on that stage sometimes. It's
with how politically charged it is.
Yeah,
today, right?
Throw some gloves on them and see what happens. I would imagine we'd get something similar to this game. So how many characters are we looking to beat up in this? Like, how deep is this game?
So right now we have 9 characters, each of which has 2 fights. So they have the regular fight and then the presidential EX fight.
is
much more challenging and basically challenges you on all of the things that you learned in playing that character up to that EX fight.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of the game. You know, you say punch out and it's easy for us to picture, you know, what that means, but you know, not everybody, I guess, has played punch out, believe it or not. So what kind of mechanics are we looking at here for the game?
So basically you have 4 different kinds of punches. You have a left and a right low punch and a left and a right high punch, or jab and hooks, mm-hmm. or hooks and jabs respectively, I guess. And then you also have blocking, dodging, and your haymaker. And you have a health meter, a stamina meter, and like a power meter that you use to charge up to launch that haymaker. Mm-hmm. And your stamina meter determines if you can punch or dodge or not. If you become completely winded, you have to block. There's also a perfect blocking mechanic, so you're actually rewarded for blocking just before you get hit, as you get some special stamina some special meter from that and some stamina from it, actually. So basically your job as a player is to learn how to use these core mechanics to unlock the puzzles that all of the characters have. They're basically all different puzzle boxes.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you. So it is a puzzle slash pattern recognition type boss fights kind of thing, like a Punch Out. And it's not just, you
exactly.
know, in its look and style, whatever, and feel. It actually, that's fun, because then you can mess around with like the over the top characterizations of these political candidates and like really give them like special moves and stuff that kind of go based off of that. That's, I can't wait to see all those. That's going to be funny.
Yeah. And a lot of the characters, at first you fight just characters who don't really cheat. Some of them kind of cheat, and then you get further into the game and they really start cheating. Kind of similar to how politicians work in real life, you know?
Wow. Look at that.
It's a metaphor.
Metaphor.
Oh, it gets deep. So
fancy words.
So Tyler, we did see this game at PAX East earlier this mm-hmm. year, and you guys had a mm-hmm. consistent crowd at your booth there. What was the reaction like from just gamers in general playing Election Year Knockout?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, and I think it's awesome that you two managed to stop by the booth and check it out at PAX. Basically, from all the gamers that we had at PAX, they were loving it. We had a lot of gamers who found out it was already released on mobile and everything and went and signed up for the public beta and went and came back to us, and they're like, look how far I got. I've already beaten Thump. You know, I've beaten some of these challenges, this and that. And yeah, it was like nonstop. The booth was packed almost the entire weekend at PAX. It was kind of crazy.
So you had the mobile experience, but now this is your first foray for this game onto Steam. So can you talk a little bit about what that's been like for you guys getting on Steam?
Yeah, so it's been a really big deal for us, I think, and I think it's a big move for the company going forward. Hopefully the game does well on Steam and we're able to continue making these kind of risky decisions, you know, like this, because really when we were making the game on mobile, we played it and we thought the game felt great on mobile and that we were able to do a really good job at bringing this experience to mobile. But at its core, it still did feel like that console kind of PC game, you know? And once we started getting into that PC development and I started actually porting it over to Mac and PC, it felt great to play it on a keyboard and mouse and with a controller and everything. And I think maybe we might have made the mistake of going mobile first with this game because that's what our company has had so much experience with in the past. But I think that in the future, this is a great experience, if not just for the learning experience of releasing to Steam, you know?
Do you think it was a mistake to lead with mobile because of the stigma mobile has, or is it just because you think it makes a good console experience right off the bat?
I think it's a little of both, personally. So I think that there is a big mobile stigma, you know, that all mobile games are really shallow and they're not very fun, or they're all just money grabbing games, you know. But I also think that the game itself just feels better as a PC kind of experience.
What did you guys improve in terms of the mechanics and gameplay when you brought this over from a mobile app to Steam, for example?
Well, one of the things is that we could take out all of the mobile monetization stuff that we had to have in the game originally, like ads and boosts and stuff like that. Things that maybe ended up not working, maybe did somewhat. I'm not really the person to ask about that, I guess. I'm just the programmer. But yeah, we found that the game itself so some of the things is we had the premium characters with the ad-free version. We just unlocked those in the base game now with the PC game. We also were able to kind of expand the scope of that a little bit. So we improved the unlocking system. So you actually can unlock the EX fights through the campaign progression as well as the challenges on PC, whereas on mobile, in order to kind of encourage that boost using and whatnot, you have to complete the challenges to unlock the EX fights. So basically, we're just trying to deliver the game to the player in a better fashion, you know, in a way that makes more sense as well on a PC.
Yeah, you keep saying, you know, you had to do like the boosts and stuff like that. Was that because of just the market and you just wanted to be kind of, you know, on par with what's out there? Or was it a decision that was put on you guys from somewhere else?
Well, it's a decision that we've done, I guess, for not me personally, but the company has done for all of their games prior to this point, is having some sort of monetization,
right?
Such as like in-app purchases and the ads. And basically that's the only way our company has made money with games up to this point. So it was our only option in our minds, I guess, as to how to monetize the game.
Do you see you guys going to a console release if the Steam release does do well, or is it that part of the plan to go on console eventually?
Yeah, that's totally part of the plan if the Steam release does well. We've actually just applied for Nintendo a couple of days ago, and we're hoping to hear back from them with good news on releasing this to the Switch.
That'd be nice.
Or they might say, maybe make a new Punch-Out game for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they'll do.
That would be just as cool, if not a little better, you know? Like,
you know, which makes, which
really awesome.
It makes me wonder. We haven't seen a Punch-Out game since, I want to say, at least 10 years.
I believe it was 2010 when the Wii Punch-Out came out, the latest one. And I think part of the reason why we chose this is because we wanted that. We wanted to see more Punch-Out in the world, you know?
Yeah. Punch-Out's just a simple concept to grasp. Like, just dodge, block, punch, wait for the moment, wait for the weakness, and boom, get them done. It's boss fights. It's a boss rush game. And, you know, those games themselves, outside of boxing and outside of Punch-Out, are becoming more and more popular. So, yeah, just kind of hit tickle that void, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so I feel like when you actually play this game, it makes you miss Punch-Out, and that's something special. It reminds you of that, like, reflex-based gameplay that I'm not sure why they haven't even... There's no even rumblings of a new Punch-Out game out of Nintendo, and I really wonder why that is. It seems like it's just sitting there on a shelf. Like, sure, Little Max and Smash Brothers, but it's not good enough for me at this point.
The answer probably has to be ARMS, right? Like, that's what they focused on instead, and, you know, it's been probably 6 years since they started development on ARMS, I would say, you know, and the game's out for 3 years now.
Well, the last Punch-Out game was made by the guys that did Luigi's Mansion 3 for the Switch. Yeah. So it's not like an in-house Japan-only developed license for them.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, ARMS was fun and all, but Punch-Out is like iconic gaming franchise. Even without Mike Tyson, I think that the name alone carries much more weight than ARMS ever will, to be honest.
Well... Yeah, I guess. But we'll see. I mean, it's Nintendo. They've surprised us in many different ways before. Yeah. So, but you know, I we always discuss how where's F-Zero, and the answer is, if Mario Kart's selling as well as it is, why do you need another racing game?
Right.
You know. So it could just be as simple as, hey, we have Smash Bros. We have, you know, ARMS now, and there's no, you know, need for a boxing sim, I guess.
Explain Star Fox then.
They just can't get it right. they've pooped on that franchise long enough. They can't figure it out. Like, literally since Nintendo 64, they have not been able to make a good one of those. So I think that might be why. So how did you guys decide which political candidates and all that stuff were chosen to be characters in the game?
Well, in dealing with that, like, staying politically neutral, we did want a mostly even number of Democrats to Republicans, which was a little difficult considering it was an incumbent race this year with Donald Trump running. So we kind of had to pick some Republicans who had name recognition, maybe from the 2016 election and just maybe regionally throughout the United States as well. And then we kind of just tried to pick who we thought might end up becoming the front runners of the Democratic giant mess that was all of them running at the same time.
The Democratic race battle royale is what, as it were.
But then yeah, exactly. We also had the likes of Justin Trudeau and Kim Jong-un in this game.
Yes.
I think having Kim Jong-un, it takes some big cojones on you to have him in this game.
Congratulations, you're officially a criminal in North Korea.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be taking any vacations to North Korea or maybe even the border on China and North Korea anytime in the next decade or so.
Let things simmer down for a little while.
Yeah, yep.
For sure.
Yeah, right, so we have a listener question here.
Oh.
I want to get into that. Oh, yes, there was some.
Please do.
Let's see. This one comes from Buzz Killington. Oh, Buzz.
Oh, Buzz.
Are there any former presidents you would add in a Legends roster to this game?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, so that's actually something we've talked about internally. Is that's something that we really want to do if there's more involvement in the game and if the game does well on Steam, is we do want to add like more of these characters to the game. And that was one of the ideas that we had, was like a 2000s throwback, you know, with maybe like Obama and Hillary Clinton and stuff.
Oh my God. So,
Bill Clinton, you know, and then maybe like, we also wanted to do like an Axis versus Allies. So like Winston Churchill and yeah. So there's a lot of ideas that we've talked about internally of ways that we could take this game if it does do well, you know, adding new characters to the game. And some of the characters, like old presidents that we've talked about adding, are like Abe Lincoln and George Washington, you know, maybe like just the iconic presidents pack or something.
Oh, that'd be good.
I just thought of that. Remember the Fight Club game from years ago on PS2 that had Abe Lincoln in the game? You remember that?
I don't. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, I think I do. Is the haunting happening again?
Yes, the haunting.
Andy,
yeah.
The haunting is happening. Is Thriller in real time happening right now?
So you mentioned, Tyler, in the beginning how you joined Exceptional Games about a few months after this game was in development. So walk us through your career and how you got into game development.
Okay. Yeah, so I actually started at Exceptional Games pretty much right out of university after getting my Bachelor's of Science in Computer Science. I've been making games myself in my free time since I was like 10 years old. Never really of this scope or magnitude or anything like that. You know, I've never spent 18 months of, well, that's not entirely true. I've spent about 2 years of development on a personal project of mine. And so, yeah, that's basically all my experience in game development, is everything I've done at Exceptional and then all the stuff I've done in my free time leading up to it. And then, of course, my bachelor's degree.
What drew you to game development? Like, were you a fan of gaming as a kid, or just that was part of, you were in computer science, then you went into, maybe I can have this go into a game development career?
Yeah, so I kind of have always wanted to make games. I love the idea of like world crafting and crafting like lore and the history and stuff like that, and character development and building and everything like that. So ever since I was a kid, I've been like drawing and writing and designing worlds and stuff like that on paper and in my head, and sometimes on a computer as well. So it was just kind of natural for me, I guess, to want to go into game development as I got older.
What kind of games did you grow up playing? Like, what were your go-to franchises or genre of game?
So personally, I like simulation games and role-playing games. So one of the first games that I remember playing, according to my mom, I was playing this back when I was 2 years old, was the very first Roller Coaster Tycoon game.
Hell yeah.
So those are the kind of games that I kind of grew up on, or like Roller Coaster Tycoon, you know, Zoo Tycoon, The Sims, the Elder Scrolls games, StarCraft, Warcraft, a lot of those kind of games, Diablo.
A huge Blizzard fan, it sounds like.
Yeah. You kind of got the gamut there. But a 2 year old playing Roller Coaster Tycoon,
I doubt I was very good if I was playing it.
Yeah. maybe just drag, like clicking and dragging like the pre-made coasters or something like that, because I could barely build the coasters now and I'm 33, so that's cool.
Sometimes going back to it, it's like oh, now that I actually know how to play the game and what I'm trying to do, it's like, oh crap, well now this coaster is not exciting enough, or it's too nauseous for this excitement level, damn it.
The 62 loops are too much. Much.
Exactly.
People are dying of old age before they get finished with the ride. Yeah, I used to do that. I used to make the giant coaster that goes around the whole park. Miserable, making people just vomit all the time. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, they get off and they want to leave the park.
I don't need a bathroom. I don't need food. I need my car, and I need to get the fuck out of here.
Mine were just death traps when I designed my theme parks.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time as a kid just picking up the peeps and then dropping them into the water and watching them. I don't know why.
You had a Sims graveyard also, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of ghost Sims running around.
Yep. Oh, I'm just going to remove the door. I'm annoyed with this Sim. Oh, now they're trapped in this bedroom.
Oh, well. it would be interesting if they just start digging through the ground to try and get out.
Like, right. They start pounding on the wall. Let me out.
I just love how your mom was like, oh, you're really good at this game. Now, I think he has homicidal tendencies when he's drowning all these peeps in the water.
I don't know if she ever actually watched me play the game.
Probably good.
Yeah, right, she also let me have Grand Theft Auto 3 when I was 10 years old. So
interesting.
She
didn't
watch the games that I played.
No. Yeah, my parents really weren't into knowing what I was doing either. But 10? No, I wasn't 10. Probably a little bit older than that, but good Lord. So how did you get involved with the team here? How'd you come on board?
Yeah, so one of my friends from back in elementary school and beyond was friends with a current employee at Exceptional Games, and so he told my friend that they had an opening, so I applied because I was looking for work now that I was soon to be graduated. I hadn't quite graduated yet. And so we just had the phone interview, and I did well in the phone interview, so they asked me to come and do a technical interview, and I guess I blew all the other candidates out of the water with the technical interview. So
hell yeah, you did. you got that technical prowess and expertise.
That's right. It also made me it also helped in my advantage too when the other programmer who had started this project left Exceptional Games and I had to take over the lead programmer position.
What was that like? Like going into someone else's, I guess, when it comes to programming work, it's like just finishing off what they've started. What was that like for you?
It was definitely different. So when I had started, they had two fights in the game implemented. They had Donald Thump and Bernie Sanders. So
perfect.
So when I had started, the game was still new enough and still early enough that it was not this huge, massive, complex project that I was jumping right into the middle of. Right. So it was easier for me to kind of get started and start learning the ropes of the game engine that we were using and everything like that to kind of start filling in that role. And eventually he left about 3 or 4 months into my employment there, and then I was moved to full-time salary position as the lead programmer. And from there, we just kind of continued working on the game, and then you guys saw what it was like at PAX. And
so, yeah, I mean, you got to PAX, and then kind of the whole world went to shit after that. How has that affected you guys as a studio, as a team?
Yeah, so we've all been working from home for the last several months, you know, because of all this pandemic, the COVID virus going around and everything. So basically it's hasn't hindered our company too much because the ad revenue that we're getting in from the games and stuff like that is held pretty steady. And I'm guessing that's because people are still at home watching videos and playing games.
Right.
So yeah,
sure.
It really hasn't affected us that much. And we've been lucky enough to have a small team of dedicated individuals who are able to continue working at home.
I imagine it's hurt you guys as far as being able to show the game in public because all of the other events that were canceled throughout, you know, the spring and the summer. Did you have any discussions of like what you would do in its stead, or was it just hey they're gone, there's nothing we could do about it, let's just push forward to release and just keep going?
Yeah, so on that note, one of the things that did get canceled that I was supposed to go to this year was GDC. Mm-hmm. So that was canceled due to COVID, and then the PAX West we were mm-hmm. planning on showing our game at as well, you know, the new PC version and everything, but that ended up also getting moved to like an online only showcase. So
right,
yeah,
we've submitted our game for that as well, and we're hoping that we can get into the PAX online showcase at least. But yeah, definitely is not the same.
Go ahead, Andy.
I was gonna say, how is that gonna work with PAX online? Is it just showing just like a trailer of your game, or because you lose that interactive component with an online showcase, obviously. How is that gonna work for you guys?
Yeah, so I think there's still some details that Penny Arcade is trying to work out with how mm-hmm. this PAX online is gonna work, but I think that they're gonna allow some sort of like demo system mm-hmm. where we can submit a demo build and people will go and be able to watch like the trailer and read about the game and try the demo themselves. At least that's really how cool. I hope it'll work.
Yeah, us too.
Yeah, and I hope it works better than what Steam did, because that was borderline impossible to find what the hell we wanted to actually try. That was kind of a pain in the ass. So, yeah, so hopefully it's just as simple as here's the page of the games this day of PAX, you know, online. Here's like 12 games. Click it. Oh, you want to play it? Okay, click this thing. I don't know. You'd think that we got the whole online, you know, downloading games thing down with all the different storefronts that we've had to learn from, all the different programs you can use, all of that stuff. But no, we haven't learned anything, apparently. Just putting barricades in front of barricades in front of barricades. But it's been really sad to you know, we've talked to, since PAX, probably a dozen, maybe more, mm-hmm. developers, and just seeing how things kind of really, a lot of course correction had to happen very, very quickly. And nobody can really prepare for something like this. Nobody could say, hey, it's literally getting the rug swept out from under your feet, you know, especially if you were a game that was coming out in, you know, April or May or, you know, early June, where you kind of needed that little extra boost to kind of get your game in front of people, at, you know, the finished product in front of people. You know, have you heard it from any of your, you know, cohorts in the industry, any other people that kind of had to course correct or whatever? Like, what's it been like for inside the industry, as it were?
So I don't have a whole lot of friends or anything like that in the industry, but mm-hmm. from what I've been gathering, there's been a lot of basically layoffs. There's been a lot of furloughs. There's been a lot of furloughs mm-hmm. and stuff like that, as well as these companies have kind of had to wind down their development of a lot of these games. And I know that a lot of deadlines for games have been getting pushed out, and like release dates, even for some of the AAA games, have been pushed out a little bit because of all this stuff. So it is unfortunate, you know?
Now I know you guys are, you know, they primarily did mobile, and you know, this is the first kind of PC situation, but and you're thinking about Switch and all that stuff, but have you what's your excitement level for next gen coming at the end of the year?
Oh, well, me personally, I'm a PC gamer all the way, mm-hmm. but okay. I am definitely looking forward to some of these new consoles just because of the new technologies that they always bring, even to the PC industry, you know. The PC games start coming out, and they're like, oh, well, now we have to look way better than these next-gen consoles. So
right, yeah. It's always about looks with the PC. It's always about the looks, you know? So shallow, you PC gamers.
The master race, bruh.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't. I'm a console boy all the way, so I don't kind of get that. I don't get that culture of PCs the best.
Sorry.
No, it's definitely not the best, and it's... definitely not the most affordable either, you know? So
if that's for sure, yeah.
Gaming, you'd go with console all the way.
Right. So what's next for you guys? What's in the dock? I mean, now it's the Steam port coming out tomorrow as this recording, actually. So good luck on that. It's going to be a huge hit, I think. What's next for you guys?
Well, kind of just watching the Steam release, making sure there's no really critical bugs or issues that we have to fix in that launch week and everything like that, because basically that's every game ever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're definitely anticipating there to be some minor hiccups or whatever. We've done all the testing and everything like that we can. So,
and hopefully the Switch thing, you know, comes to fruition, and then that could be the, you know, your next little project for the next couple of months to kind of get that going and up and running. And then who knows, maybe this thing comes to console for the first time around the election, or like right in the height of everything. Who knows? Yeah.
That would be awesome. You know,
and just kind of ride that momentum. That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I look forward to it.
I want to see it on PS5 and Series X, right when those
launch. That's what you want.
Right when those launch at election season.
You want that 4K 60 frames per second, beautiful, hand drawn AOC.
If I'm going to punch AOC in the face, it's got to be in 4K.
4K, got it.
And 60 FPS. And when she says things like, "Oh, there's one really good line in the game, it escapes me. Hold on a minute."
Was it the math one?
No, not about math. It was it was about putting some ice on it before she abolishes it.
Got it. Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, that's a good one.
That's one of her winning rest scene taunts, basically.
So clever. So clever.
So I don't want to alarm you, but we have had now a pony fighting game. And now an election political boxing game on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Have we gone mental? What's happening in society? What are we doing these days?
You know, I don't think we have. I think we're right on point with how things should be. Now, I do want to get into the rapid fire pretty soon.
Okay, yeah.
But I do want to ask one last question, and
please do.
Just so Tyler knows, and you know, it's not coming from my brain. It's more of the, I'm going to assume the role of an asshole journalist.
Not much comes from Andy's brain.
No, that's very, very true. Cause you know, I grew up on violent games and it didn't really affect me. I don't think it did in any way. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But again, this is me being an asshole journalist right now. It's not me talking
sure,
to you.
Sure, sure. Okay.
When you have a caricature of a political figure, do you think that that could incite violence in a sense?
You know, I don't think so, Andy. I personally...
And I agree with you with 100%.
I personally think that I think that in certain scenarios, and if done improperly, it definitely could.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that by changing their names, by obviously cartoonifying the violence and the characters themselves, that it does very obviously show that it's satire, you know, not trying to incite violence. But that is a question that we've gotten before as well. Somebody actually told us that we were committing treason because we were inciting acts of violence against the president or something, and I'm like,
he does that just plenty enough by himself.
Because you know, I could see the usual publication saying like, "This game lets you punch AOC in the face."
It encourages violence.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, can we stop with this? It's not how it's supposed to be.
Let's wait for it to happen, Andy. Let's just wait for it before we get all mad and say it's good. And you know what? If it does, listen, Tyler, if Polygon or Kotaku, because it's going to be one of those two fucking places, if one of them picks this thing up and says, you know, knockout election year, inciting violence against political
against
candidates,
women.
Against women. And you know, whatever. You know, congratulations, because at that point you've made it.
I mean, I would be happy if they, even if they picked up an article for our game just to totally shit on it, I'd be happy.
I could totally see.
We could make that happen.
We could. Yes, we could. I could totally see the Trump campaign picking this up and thinking it's hilarious that you get to punch like AOC and Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, but being completely blind to the fact that he's also in the game. And like that being a thing, like him holding it up and saying, "You got to see this. Look at this. You could punch her. You got to hit her right in the mouth. It's great. I'm telling you, it's great." And then just ignoring the fact that you also got to punch him in his fat stomach.
I know Pocahontas is in this game. Pocahontas.
Look at this. You got to punch her. You got to punch her, Pocahontas.
It's great. We've actually sent like copies and we've tried to get these politicians to look at the game at least just a little bit. But yeah.
Who do you think would have the best response to your game and the worst response politically? Like if you were you were to show this to like Ted Cruz or Ted Bruz as he is in this game, or like a Dan Crenshaw, like who would take it like the best and laugh it off, and who would say, "This is an assault on me, and I will sue you for this."
Cease and desist.
I think that Dan Crenshaw would personally take the game the best and would think it's hilarious because mm-hmm. he's been on SNL. He thinks, I bet he would find his caricature as a pirate hilarious. You know? But I think that Elizabeth Warren might be a little upset with how we portray her in the game.
I see that. I see that.
She does have a pretty good sense of humor. So, I mean, she could surprise us. She's a little weird with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think we tried to do that design in a way that wasn't insensitive either. You know, we were poking fun at her, not native people, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yeah. All right, Andy, let's get into rapid fire.
Oh boy.
It's time. And I want to get back to your cereal question.
Yes, we should.
But the first question we're going to ask is cereal related, and that is, Tyler, is cereal a soup?
Yes. Cereal is a cold dairy-based soup.
Mm. Interesting.
So I guess on that note, when poured over cereal, what is milk?
Milk then becomes the broth. A cold
broth.
Yes.
In cold.
Fascinating. Now, it makes me wonder, like, you can have a broth as a soup and just sip at that as a meal. Mm-hmm. So right. If I were to pour milk into a bowl, and like, is it now a broth with the spoon that I'm eating? See, these are the real questions that we should be asking society.
These are the real questions. This is philosophical.
It is.
Philosophy at its best. Speaking of philosophy, would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Oh, probably flight, because then I wouldn't have to pay for plane tickets anymore.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Let them burn. You know what I say? You know, just let them collapse. Let it all collapse around us. Let the phoenix rise from the ashes, as it were.
Who needs to drive? I'm just going to fly there.
That's it.
And it's a less carbon footprint, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Go green. Fly it.
Well, be careful because AOC is going to come after your farts.
Oh, that's true. She'd probably abolish flying.
Those cow farts, as they were.
We don't want them human farts up in the ozone, you know what I mean?
When you're flying really high up and you fart, it means it goes to the ozone quicker.
Yes. Yeah. It attacks it much quicker. Yep. Mm-hmm.
As a computer scientist, I can confirm this.
Absolutely.
Speaking about things
here first.
Speaking about things that make you fart. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Tacos or burritos?
Oh, burritos. Burritos, yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was your last thought before going to bed last night?
Oh, well, I was playing this mobile game, so it was, God damn it, I better not lose this tournament. I need to win this tournament.
That's it. It's the mind of a gamer. Growing up, which end of the console wars were you on?
Oh, growing up, I was totally a console gamer. You know, I had a PlayStation, PlayStation 2, an Xbox, a GameCube, Xbox 360.
You had them all, huh?
Yeah, PlayStation 3. You know, I had the Nintendo DS, the Game Boy Advance, the Game Boy SP, the Game Boy Color. So yeah, I was totally console gamer all the way growing up.
You were a console agnostic, as it were.
Yes.
Very good. Cheap plug. Go check out Platform Agnostic Podcast. That's a friend of the show. Go ahead, Andy. Your question.
If you had the power to shrink anything and take it with you, what would it be?
Also, I can only shrink one thing and take it with
me? Just one thing and take it with you.
Oh.
Like, it's a one-time use situation. Like, here's the shrink ray.
Oh, that's tough.
Here's like the shrink particle, and you could attach it to one thing.
Can I shrink it to like whatever size I want?
Yes, whatever size you'd like.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can go subatomic. You need to go subatomic. What are we doing? Are we saving the world? What are we doing?
The quantum realm, baby.
Let's do it.
All right. It would probably be like a planet or a star or something that I could compress and then like harness all the energy out of.
That is the nerdiest fucking answer, and I love it.
Wouldn't it keep its density and just space. Become and just basically Sorry. Fall through the planet?
What was that?
Wouldn't it, like, if you were to do that to a planet, wouldn't it just retain its mass density and just fall through the planet?
I mean, yeah, like
scientifically speaking,
it would totally gravitationally speaking. If I compressed a star into the size of a softball, our planet would be fucked. Totally screwed.
All right. When you're putting on your sneakers or shoes at the start of your day, which foot do you put on first?
Oh, I don't think I actually check. I think I just kind of slip my feet into the shoes. So
I learned today that I do the left first.
I think it is the left for me too, usually.
Yeah.
You go on the right.
You gotta get. Are you righty or lefty?
I'm right-handed. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's why I do that, because I gotta get you gotta get your finger in the heel with the strong arm. You know, you need your strong arm in there.
That's right.
Go ahead, Andy.
Would you rather invent something new or discover something new?
Oh, that's probably discover. Honestly. Yeah.
Expound.
Well. A new scientific discovery can basically create decades or centuries worth of scientific inventions and discoveries as well. So like a single discovery can lead to dozens and hundreds of breakthroughs, basically, whereas a single invention can also do the same thing. I just think it's maybe statistically less likely to. I don't really know the stats on that.
So speaking of discovery, would you rather discover a new dinosaur or a new planet?
Oh, new planet all the way.
Yeah. What would you name it?
I love space, so.
I know I'm doing a follow-up question, and that's typically not allowed in rapid fire. What would you name your planet?
Tylopia.
I like it.
Good one. See, I was going to ask you, which video game character do you most relate to? And I think it's the Space Corps from Portal 2. That's what I'm getting right now. Are rats cute?
Rats are totally cute. I actually had a pet rat as a kid.
You kind of nailed that one right on the head there, Andy.
I know.
you knew that. Do you have a PI investigating our guests beforehand? Listen, is that what's happening? Is that where the budget goes?
Has given me some very ample time to do things I normally wouldn't be doing.
I understand.
So let's leave it at that.
I understand. Thumbsticks, offset or what do they call it? Offset or PlayStation or Xbox controller? Essentially, I forget what they call it.
I like the feel of an Xbox controller. So, definitely Xbox controller.
If you were allowed to ask one question at the first presidential debate for 2020, what would it be?
Why did you lie?
This is for both.
It seems like an open-ended question. It's like, we're going to take it. It applies to both of you.
Here's our first question for both candidates. Why did you lie?
So you ask about what? Everything.
No, just you leave it there.
Pick one.
You leave it there and let them think about it.
Now, I had a question. Now that just threw me off completely. Let me think. Where the hell was it? Shit. No, I don't know. Damn. Andy, you got another one?
Oh, sure. Here we go. Give us a non-inspirational quote.
Yes, non-inspirational.
Non-inspirational quote. Don't worry if you fail. Everybody fails sometimes. They also do it sometimes too.
Okay.
That's great. I like that. When you are taking a selfie with your phone, how are you holding it? Landscape or vertically or portrait?
Oh, portrait. Yeah. I usually hold it using the front facing camera, you know?
Landscape, are you a fucking serial killer?
Oh, here we go. Landscape. Here we go. The fucking fireworks are starting. Where? Just what is happening in New York?
What's happening?
Is that your next question?
It's just fireworks. It's just fireworks every night. There's fireworks. Just stop it. Anyway, Andy, do you want to bring us home with the final question?
Well, I want to ask one more. Then you can. Yeah. You know what? Let me ask one more, and then I'll bring us.
Yeah,
home.
Yeah, and I'll bring us home with the last one.
Okay. Who would you rather hire as a babysitter, Jeffrey Dahmer or Casey Anthony?
Oh, definitely not Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not as familiar with Casey Anthony, so.
Well, that was a terrible thing.
Right.
She was the one that, like, I think it was her kid, disappeared, didn't report it for like 3 days, went to a bar, went to hang out, and then reported the kid missing later on. And, like, it was a kind of a disaster. Not good with kids. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
Jeffrey Dahmer also not good with humans. So
Jeffrey Dahmer ate people, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
he did.
Yeah.
He wanted them to become part of him. Mm-hmm. Speaking of sociopaths, here's our final question. And it's probably the most important question you've ever been asked in your entire life.
Ooh.
That's right. More important than any question we've asked here, more important than any question that you've ever gotten on a job interview. The census, nay, nothing. Nothing is more important than the question you're about to be asked here.
40.
And I want you, what's that?
42.
Close.
Oh.
Close.
Darn it.
Close. The question is, Andy or Steven?
Oh, both. I mean, it's a dual screens.
You want a party. You want a party. I like it. I like the cut of your jib, sir. I like the cut of your jib. And that brings us to the end of the show. This was a good one, Andy. This was a good one. Tyler, you were excellent.
Thank you.
It was a very good show.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Folks, when we're not interviewing awesome game developers, Andy and I also have the Dual Screens Gamescast, which posts each and every Monday and records live on Sundays on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. That's a show where we go over all sorts of video game news and all the happenings and what we've been playing and all that stuff. So if you like us and you want to hear us yell at each other about video games, that's the place to do it. And speaking of watching or listening to us yell at each other, we also have our seasonal show, the Dual Screens Versus, which is a debate show where we bring on a guest moderator to kind of put us up against each other in various topics. And that posts on Fridays whenever we have a guest mod to come over and record it. We have 2 episodes left. Head over. It's on the same channel. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. Where you're listening to this, you could also listen to all those shows. So just go back and, you know, download old episodes. Give us a listen. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a review because it helps the show out tremendously. The more reviews you get, the more eyes can potentially see the show. So please, 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 if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a review. And if you want to support us, you can do so by going to Patreon Patreon at patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our 2 Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please consider going over to patreon.com/NDS podcast and supporting us. You can support us for as little as $1, and that gets you a bonus episode every month. You get to vote on the bonus topic for that show, and you also get to be in our VIP Discord channel where we all hang out, talk all day, all night, and we even have some of our former guests in there as well. And Tyler, if you are a Discord person and you want to join and talk to our dumb idiot friends, you're more than welcome to join us there as well.
Awesome.
If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. Now, Tyler, where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find Knockout? Knockout. And where can everybody find Exceptional Games?
All right, so we have a website, exceptionalgames.com. We can also go to electionyearknockout.com, mm-hmm. and you can search Election Year Knockout on Steam, wishlist it today. It's coming out tomorrow.
That's right. It's going to be already out by the time our listeners get this. So go out there, go support. If you want to laugh and you want to have some challenging, engaging gameplay, some fights, some tough fights, go ahead and do it. Andy?
Mm-hmm.
Before we say our final goodbyes, is there anything you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I had one really good thought for this game, and I think it's a bit of a genius move. Before you fight Donald Trump, press secretary fight. Because I'd love to punch Sarah Sanders in the face.
Right in the face. Right in the mush. Just get her good.
I mean, she's former, but still. The idea is still there.
And she's also a formidable opponent, for sure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, she would be the gatekeeper, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would.
That's it. And that is going to do it for the Dual Screens podcast. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Tyler. It has been a pleasure. And as always, please be excellent to each other.